My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
The Scriptures are abundantly clear on God's teaching concerning baptism. Over and over again, we are taught throughout Scripture that to be saved, a person must first be baptized. There is no salvation without baptism in God's plan of salvation. A multitude of passages teach this. For example, in Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Notice, belief and baptism are both done prior to salvation. Jesus taught in John 3:5, "Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of heaven." You can't get to heaven, Jesus said, without being baptized. Peter made it so clear in 1 Peter 3:21 when he said, "Baptism does now also save us." Look, baptism saves, the Scripture says. And think about the accounts of conversion in the book of Acts. Acts 2:38. They cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And the answer was, "Repent and be baptized." Why? For the remission of sins. Think about Paul's own account of conversion. He was told, "You go in the city and it'll be told you what you must do." Well, what was essential for Paul to do? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. When pressed with the biblical evidence on baptism, many people, because of a preconceived idea or because of the simple fact that they think they're saved and baptism, what the Scriptures teach on baptism, conflicts with that, will throw out arguments. One of the most popular arguments against baptism for the remission of sins is the old thief on the cross. Now here's how the argument goes. The thief was saved. Luke 23:42, Jesus said to the thief, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." The thief was never baptized, therefore this person may be saved without being baptized. Is the thief a good example of salvation in the New Testament without baptism? Is this an example for us to follow today? This example is not proof at all. It is an assumption based on an example of Old Testament salvation while Jesus was alive and had the power to forgive sins any way He wanted. Now, you can find out the accounts of the thief in Matthew 27, beginning in verse 38. Mark 15, beginning in verse 27, and Luke 23, beginning around verse 39. And here's what we know about this argument and why it won't hold water. The whole argument is based on a false assumption. The thief was never baptized. Where does the Scripture say that? Where's the passage that says, "Oh yeah, that thief who said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom,' and the one Jesus said, 'Today, you'll be with me in paradise,'" where's the Scripture that says he was never baptized? But there isn't one. Then it's not a logical argument that you can base your salvation on. It is a mere assumption. To say the thief was never baptized is to say a whole lot more than the Bible says. Now, are we going to come out and affirm that he was? The Bible doesn't say either way. But you can't base your salvation on an assumption. That's not the way Christians work. Christians never assume anything. The Bible says that our mindset should be, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 teaches us, that it should be to prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Where's the proof that the thief was never baptized? Well, there is none. In fact, we could come a lot closer to proving the thief was a religious man who evidence may suggest he was baptized more than you could come proving he wasn't baptized. Now, let me illustrate. The thief, his knowledge suggests that he was a very religious man. He wasn't your average common criminal. The knowledge and the information we're given in Scripture suggests that he knew more about Christ and His kingdom than some of Jesus' own disciples did. Luke 23:40 teaches us this was a man who realized the existence of God. We're not talking about an atheist or an agnostic. This is a man who believes in God. For he said to the other thief who had reviled Jesus, "Do you not even fear God, seeing we are under the same condemnation?" This is a man who recognized the existence of God, who recognized His sovereignty, His power, and His handiwork even up to the point of His death. This was a man who had a standard. Whether he followed it or not may be debatable, but this is a man who had a good standard of right and wrong. For example, in Luke 23:41, the thief said again to the other thief, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deed." What's he saying? We're getting what we deserve. We broke the law. We violated the standard of right and wrong. And what we're going to get is what we deserve. And so he believed in God. He recognized the standard of right and wrong. And he believed Christ was a king. Luke 23:42, he said to Jesus, who was also on the cross, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Can you have a kingdom without a king? Absolutely not. This man realized Jesus was a king. Revelation 19:16, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. 1 Timothy 6:12 following, he is the great potentate or supreme ruler. And so he realized some things about Christ. This man also believed some things about the kingdom and the other side, knew some things about it that Jesus' disciples didn't even get. He believed death would not stop Christ's kingdom. Now, what was the disciples' view of Christ's kingdom? Acts 1, after the death of Jesus, they said, "Lord, are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" They had a worldly, physical mindset. And yet this man said in Luke 23:42, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, I want you to stop and think about this. This man and Jesus both know people don't come down from crosses. People don't come down from crosses alive. And yet he asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. What's that imply? This man believed death would not stop the kingdom of Christ. He believed there'd be remembrance on the other side. "Lord, remember me." He knew that the grave was not the end. The Sadducees didn't even get that. He knew the grave was not the end. He knew that there would be remembrance on the other side in eternity, and there was more to life than what was seen on the physical side. This man knew of the perfection of Christ. Luke 23:41, he said, "This man has done nothing wrong." We're getting what we deserve, he said, but this man has done nothing wrong. He knew Christ was a perfect man. He was tempted in all points, yet he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Again, something that a lot of people in his day didn't understand. And this man knew about the resurrection of Christ. Remember Luke 23:42? "Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom." If people don't come down from crosses, and they didn't, and this man wanted Jesus to remember him in his kingdom, he knew something about the resurrection and the kingdom of Christ that existed beyond this world, that existed and would come into existence in Acts 2. And so when we look at this man's background, this man looks like one who had been a follower of John, maybe, or a follower of Christ at one point even. We're not sure on that, but the evidence suggests he was a man who knew a lot of things that even the disciples didn't get. Now, what does all that mean? This helps us to understand this is not your average criminal. This is not your average thief. This is a man who had some religious background, and we could say, while the evidence doesn't go either way and we don't have proof, we could say there'd probably be more evidence if we were going to make a case to prove he was baptized than when he wasn't. In Matthew 3:5-6, Mark 1:4-5, and in John 4:1-3, the Bible records that all Jerusalem, Judea, and all the regions round about went out to John to be baptized by him. Now, how does that prove anything? We're not saying, affirming here, that that man was in there, but he may have been. He very well could have been. He already had a religious background, more than the disciples at time. If all Jerusalem and all the regions thereabout went out to be baptized by John, and this man had a religious background, how do you know he wasn't one of those people? Well, here's the point. You can't know either way. If I were going to say one way or the other, we'd have to say the evidence seems to suggest that he was a religious man who could have been in that crowd. But the point is, we don't know either way. Are you going to base your salvation off of an assumption? The thief was never baptized cannot be proven. It is only an assumption, and yet it is center and pivotal to the whole argument. And you can't even prove that? That's not an argument at all. That's an assumption, a supposition. And if we base our salvation on that, there's going to be a rude day of awakening on the judgment. And so what's the point? The point remains. He may or may not have been baptized. We simply don't know. And I'm not going to base my salvation off a best guess of anybody or what somebody thinks may have happened. Secondly, the thief is not a good example of salvation today because the thief lived and died under the old covenant. Are these people examples of salvation for us? Would you say that Noah is an example of salvation for men and women today? No, we're not going to go out and build an ark or offer sacrifices or any of those things. What about Moses? Not an example of salvation for us. Abraham is not. David is not. King Hezekiah is not. Solomon is not. Why not? Why are those men not good examples of salvation? Because they lived and died under the old covenant, and they're not examples for us today.